Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you because you are evidently in our midst. And you've blessed us with your presence. Thank you because you are unraveling and you are opening us up to truth and to reality. Bless you because we are called your people and you are our God. We just honor you. We give you praise. We thank you for this privilege of being yours and of coming to increase knowledge of the fact that we are yours. And we bless you, Lord. Holy Spirit, we thank you because you are here with us. You are not absent. You are here facilitating even all that is happening beyond what our eyes can see and what our minds can appreciate. Speak to us this morning. You're already speaking, Lord. Let your words quicken us. Let there be quickenings in our hearts. Let's receive a tangible touch from you in our deepest parts. And let your name alone be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Praise the Lord. Amen. We bless God for today. We'll just do a brief recap from what we spoke about last week Sunday, and we would add one or two things to it. Amen. Now I'm afraid to rack any joke because of the atmosphere that we are in. I'm also afraid to flow in this direction because I want to teach. I really want to speak to our hearts. And God will help us in Jesus' name. So last week we were looking at 2 Corinthians 1, 3 to 14. And we saw a scripture that was repeated in three places in the New Testament. We also saw it in Ephesians 1, 3 to 4. And we saw it in 1 Peter 1. Verse 3 to 15. And it's that proclamation of last week we were talking about revelation. And we said that here we see the apostles, Peter and Paul, coming to a point of exclamation, as it were, where they look and they said, "Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And that this proclamation wasn't just a casual proclamation. We said that it was birthed out of revelation. That somewhere in their journey, they were able to come to an understanding of what God had done. And so they responded by blessing the Lord, by belling out, "Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then as we see that in those three places, we start seeing them giving an occasion as to why they are blessing God. In 2 Corinthians 1, 3, it says, "The Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who has comforted us in all our troubles, that we might be able to comfort anyone in any trouble." In Ephesians, it says, "Blessed be God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has..." what does it say in Ephesians? "Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And in 1 Peter, it says, who has begotten us and has given us an inheritance in heaven reserved for us that is incorruptible. So we see that these guys were coming into a vision of what God had done, and they were in excitement glorifying God. They were not just casually saying, "Blessed is God. Like, we, you know, like, bless you, no. That this was a shout from their spirit based on what they had seen in their hearts, based on the revelation that God had given them. And we explained something last week. We said revelation in this case is not so much deep exegesis. You get what we're saying? That revelation isn't so much contrived interpretations of scripture. That revelation was just an apprehension of God's perspective. That it was it's our ability to see where God is seeing from. That's what we call revelation. That in every area of our lives, if we can see what God is seeing, then we're in revelation. And we also explained last week that so revelation is being armed with God's perspective. And we describe this as being armed. We said it's not a casual thing. We said it's the knowing that puts us on God's side. We said it's our weapon here on the earth. And we backed that by going into John chapter 1, where John was talking about the light shining in darkness. And we said that God clearly paints to us our context, that you might not, and we explained darkness in two ways. We said that if you are, the environment is dark. And we said if the light of the sun goes out and the light of the moon goes out and there's no light, we'll say we're in darkness, right? And then if you look at the world, it was a metaphor of everything that is going on in the world. Crime, death, sorrow. The temporalness of the world is testament to the darkness that is in the world, right? The fact that things decay here is an evidence of darkness that is in the world. But we also explained that it's not just that there is darkness in the world. We said a man without eyes in a well-lit or littered environment is still in darkness. So we explained that darkness is both personal and both environmental. And then Jesus said that he is the light that shines in darkness. So we explained that it means that Jesus, his expectation is for us to live a life of revelation. Do you understand it? That the expectation of Jesus is that we live a life of revelation. Because he clearly explains to us that we live in a dark space. One, then he says he is the light that shines in every man that comes into the world. Praise God. So he's also saying that he's also a personal a reference of interpretation and sight for us. It means that even though we have eyes, there's a portion in scripture that says having eyes but that cannot see or that cannot perceive. You get, Pastor was explaining to us the meaning of discernment. He said discernment is seeing what is behind the scene. Praise God. So it means that if I cannot see what is behind the scene to a very large level, I'm in blindness. Especially if what is behind the scene is orchestrating and doing things that are affecting me. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the fact that I can see clearly, but I can't see what is touching me, then I am blind. So we made those distinctions last week. So we really emphasize that we're in a dark world. And we said the earth is currently constituted, as currently we say, is dark and evil. And that also that men are also born blind in a sense. Praise God. And then we also explained that praise is what follows revelation. That when you are in revelation, there is an outburst of praise because you are seeing God's perspective. And why does it result in praise? Because God's perspective is love for us. Do you understand what I'm saying? That God's perspective is love for us. So when I see his perspective, I'm able to come into a proper definition of what I am in, which always results in praise for him. Do you understand what I'm saying? That the man God causes to have revelation is the man that God is blessing. Revelation is a blessing. Is that we are born into a life that is not of this world. You know, remember the scripture Pastor was referencing on Wednesday and I think last week Sunday, where he said, I pray for them, I don't pray for the world. Praise God. So we see the result of revelation is praise. The result of revelation is worship. The result of revelation is honor. The result of revelation is love, faith, strength. That every time we see God's perspective, that we are energized in the positive. Praise God. No wonder he says that the word of God is profitable to what? Did I quote that scripture well? I mixed it up to direct or something like that. Praise God. Hallelujah. So this morning I was hoping that I would have a longer recap. Now recaps are good. By the time you have 1 hour, you do recap for 35 minutes. You now preach for 25 minutes. You are done. But this one that I have this very, very fast recap, it means that we are in for it this morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, I really want to say 3 ways in which we will come into revelation. That's really what it was left from last week. Praise God. But before I say that, let's take a small journey into our life and appreciate certain things about ourselves. Our biggest question in life is, so I was explaining to someone, I said, life, you can understand life in under 3 headings. Now, I always say that when I say 3, remember that it's 3 for today. I can come tomorrow and say 10. So let's not be religious about it. Just get the meat, get the juice. Get the juice of this conversation. Life can be understood under 3 headings. 1 is identity. 2 is purpose. 3 is character. That on my last birthday, that was what I concluded. That is, if life is has 3 faculties, identity for a believer, identity, purpose, and character. I know Paul said there are 3 things. He says hope, faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. Identity, purpose, and character. That the Christian man always starts his journey from the question of identity. Praise God. That our identity in God and our identity from God is the very foundation of any movement and traction we are going to get as believers. You are only as effective, you are only as blessed, you are only as liberated, you are only as anything good that God has to the measure with which you appreciate your identity in Him. Please hear me. And that's why you have to be very, very careful not to fall into the trap of understanding the issues of identity as milk of the word. Because identity is something conferred on us. Is it there is always a tussle, and I say it all the time, that understanding how the New Testament operates, it's a complete, continuous tussle we will have as believers. The longer you go, the older you go, you are even more tempted to drop the simplicity of the Word of God and try to form a contraption that is as delicate as your new estate. Do you understand what we're saying? So we have to be careful. The foundational understanding of anything God will do is going to be based on identity. And so we are never going to stop investigating, appreciating, enforcing, understanding the issues of identity. It is the center, and anyone that moves us away from it will, guess what, would have moved us onto another gospel. It is that serious that you can never get away from the issue of identity. It is not going to be other than the blood of Jesus. It is not all going to be other than the incarnation, the death, the resurrection, the ascension, the sending down of the Holy Ghost. It is never going to be. You are not going to fabricate a new thing that would facilitate an effective work or anything that you are doing with God. It is always going to be on the basis, on the foundation of identity. Now, the church, as we have known it, has done a very good job on the issue of identity. But the people, have, as we have known us, probably haven't lived up to the work that has been done. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Hagin is everywhere. Praise God. You are not going to, you see, Hagin is a, and I, when I say Hagin, I don't mean Kenneth Hagin. I just mean the body of work that God helped him point to the body, and not just only him. He's just popular for it. That anyone that will that has gained traction in the world went through that bus stop. And we must all effectively, intentionally, deliberately, always go back to the issue of our identity as believers. It is foundation. The second one is purpose. This is where we have lagged incredulously as a church. We have never really as a church made it mainstream, the issue of purpose. Now, you have heard messages on purpose, but I can tell you, 99.9% of the messages you've heard on purpose had nothing to do with the Bible. That what you can do, how you were brought up. You know, I read something yesterday. I read it again. John chapter 1. John says, he says, and we beheld his glory, full of grace and truth. And he said, of him, we have all, of his fullness, we have all received grace for grace. What was he saying? That Jesus came as an embodiment of all capacity in God. And every one of us went into him and we're getting portions in Jesus. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't just that Jesus came as possibilities. He came as a system, as a mission. I don't even know how to explain it. And all of us were designed to extract portions of him. So purpose is not natural. Do you understand? Purpose is not a natural phenom. Purpose is completely a kingdom issue. Outside kingdom, listen, outside kingdom understanding, you can't discuss purpose. You can discuss being effective on the earth, and you can discuss making it on earth, and you can discuss all those things. But outside kingdom, and it is only going to take a man that has seen Jesus and understands Jesus to come into purpose. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So outside Jesus, there is no purpose. Because do you have purpose for something that is dead? What's the purpose of a dead thing? Anything that is dead is only befitting for burial. Johnson? Anything that is dead is only what? This is why your salvation is all encompassing. This is why your faith and this Jesus business is actually your only business. Because in it lies your purpose. Outside it is engagement in halftime. You see, when footballers, they do halftime. And then during halftime, people go into the distance, then some the people on the bench are kicking ball on the field. Now, when they score, you know, they'll be kicking ball inside. Do they count it? It's halftime. You are not in the game. Only in Christ are you able to extract purpose. Of his fullness, we all received grace for grace. So what John was saying is this. Because he is Jesus, that's why I'm John. You don't understand. So pastor said this. They asked John, they said, who are you? He said, I am one. I am a voice to talk about him coming.
Another one will say, who are you? Say, you, I mean, if you ask Anu, for example, who are you? Say, I am the one who is supposed to take care of Jesus' children. If you ask another one, who are you? Zach, who are you? I am one who is an apostle of Jesus Christ. You see, and every time Paul introduced himself, he had an appendage of who he is in connection to Jesus. Do we get what we're saying? So, outside Christ, there is no purpose. So, this Jesus is not just an embodiment of laws and regulation and sin issue and non-sin issue. He is life. Do we get it? Do we get it? So, he says, and that's why, you know, let's leave that. So, purpose. Then the third is what? Character. And that's love. Praise God. And it is not just character as how we behave. It is character as who we are. Do you understand? You know, when we hear character, if you use it for humans, you start to think of a sense of right and wrong. But that's limiting. Because you can say the character of salt is such. That is the activity of salt, the possibility of salt, the insult of salt. I just wanted to use that salt, insult kind of rhyme. You get everything about salt delivers this. Praise God. So love as character is not just. It's not just that. It's not really right. It's not just right and wrong. It is actually a fullness. Before God is love. You know, it's the embodiment coming into the fullness of who God is. And that's why I said the greatest is love. But you see, you've got to start from identity. And then you've got to be injected into a purpose before you can come out as that image of God. Praise God. And that's why I said the greatest is love. It shows you a sense of hierarchy. But it's not such that you would choose between the three. That wasn't what he was saying. It was that you will graduate into the three. From identity, you then come purpose. You can't do purpose outside identity. You can't do purpose outside identity. If you like, let an angel of God come to me in person and tell me all that God has said for me, I will still need a daily reliance on the truth of God's word to be able to achieve and activate even that which has been said to me. So if I don't have that reliance on God's word, I don't see myself in the image as God has seen me, then I am unable to deliver purpose. And my inability to deliver purpose is an attack on my development to come into the fullness of God's love. So Jesus then asked Peter, he said, "Lovest thou me more than this?" He said, "Yes." Say, "Love, feed my lamb." So you see, you're coming into the qualification of love as a stature is based on your doing that I have given you. So when you achieve purpose, you come into love. Do you understand? Because in doing that, you are because you can't achieve purpose without having a fair sense of identity. So Jesus says, "You are king, you are love, I love you, I do all this." The only way to really get it as a tangible experience and knowledge is by God then saying, "Do this, live in this line." It is very specific. The issues of purpose are not just generic. Do you understand what I'm saying? It is tailor-made. There is a grace. You are supposed to be an expression of God's grace. Just like when you say Jesus has grace, you, Seth, you are supposed to be an expression of God's grace. It means that if your purpose is into ministry, let's use that. That when you come into being, people see the ability of God in that realm. You understand what I'm saying? That if God says, again, we are so limited in how we can discuss this thing because I still have to use earthly functions to help us understand what purpose is. But it's not, and then I fall into the trap of a motivational speaker, which you know that I will die on a cross before I become. But that's not the point.
Because it's rubbish. Forgive me. You know, I'm not as polished as pastor. I'm trying. Praise God. So why did I even go into that route? I went there because I want to land, and I must land, and I will land, and I have landed at the three things. So the first thing, so there are certain lessons I wrote on my notes this morning or yesterday night. So which means a believer must consider life as decoded already. Listen, as a child of God, it does not matter whether you are in GS1, GS2, GS3. Life is, you are not figuring out life. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter whether you have money or you don't. Listen, these are the things that if we knew and we lived, we would be harassing the world. A believer must understand that this is life decoded. I'm not talking revelation. I'm saying Genesis, any scripture you can remember is life decoded. This is life. And it is broken down. I told us last week, and I was chatting with someone, don't listen to people that have a deeper meaning for every scripture you read. You know what I'm saying? That remove your common sense from every scripture you read. That when you read our life in God, this our life in God. No, it is our, just stay there. It is our life. So you will say, I have life in God. That you need to be like, I'm telling you, you need to read like that. I'm not saying that there are no depths in scripture. No, that's not what I'm saying. But don't get into the practice of thinking that God has hidden the word from you. If you're a born again child of God, the word is not hidden from you. It is here. When he needs to tell you what is a deeper function of it, he will tell you himself. Joseph, when he says the Lord is my shepherd, when it means he's my shepherd, you can take dictionary and say, shepherd feeds the lamb. You write it, Jesus will feed me. Shepherd washes the lamb, Jesus will wash me. Shepherd protects the lamb, Jesus will protect me. Boom. That is why, you see, with all your grandma and everything, Joyce Meyer is doing a lot. She's advancing the cause of the kingdom. People are being healed. People are being delivered. People are coming into newness of life. Because she just tells you, you know, then you go and read that, oh, they said she did plastic surgery. Is that one your business? Is she having conversation about plastic surgery? You see, because you see, when you don't focus, the woman said, let's discuss the word. Don't look at her lipstick, leave it. Just hear the word and move. You understand what we're saying? Life is decoded already. And this is the decoding. They've written it here. Now, you see, when you become a student of this, he'll be taking you into deeper waters. But don't care about deeper waters. I'm sorry, yo, please. Pastor will balance it. That's why he's the head pastor. I'm not the head pastor. You know, there are conversations around the ankle level. Then you hear the knee level. Then you hear the waist level. Then you hear this level. This one, when you are in ankle level, you will not know you are in ankle level. It's when you get to the head level, you now realize that, oh, I was in ankle level. You don't go to the knee level by chasing the knee level, the madeni level. No. You just do, give us this day our daily bread. It is a daily supply. It's not, it's a daily supply. It is a daily supply. It is a daily supply. It is a daily supply. And one of the ways you will know what I'm saying is true is this. Every time you wanted to be deeper in God's word, after a while you stopped reading God's word. Because you weren't getting satisfied. Because your soul was getting lean. And it wasn't entering. We've done this for a while. We know. We were in it too. Just read. Just open. John. I like John. What I do is every year, I try to go through the synoptics
Just read Jesus. I don't want to read. What did you say? Do you know what you now? I should say, did you say this? I've read this place before. I did not remember that you said this. I said, I said it. You don't read it. So life is what? Decoded. Eh? Two. So he says in, imagine he says in James 4:14. He says, what is your life? You know, sometimes God embarrasses us. He says, what is your life? Is it not a vapor? He just looked at you and looked at 80 something years. He looked at all the time you used in the village, then you came to Lagos and said, what is your life? You know, that's why we read James. You can't be reading James every week. You have to. James is like MC Salt, Andrew Liver Salt. That's the James. When you are purging, you go and take James. Every time you think that you have entered one revelation and think, just go and read James. You will calm down again. Like, okay. Say, faith without work is there. He said, okay. So James is, people who want to be spiritual, who want to be unhealthily spiritual, James is the book you ask them to go and read James. Go and read James just calm you down. He says religion. He says he's taking care of people. You know, you just say it as if you're like, that's why people say it's Old Testament. No, it's not Old Testament. It is the effectual living of the New Testament. The second thing is this, is that a believer must not walk through this world blind. And it's very critical. You can't afford to walk blind. No, I've not even gotten there yet. So let me quickly move. These are just the thoughts that came to my mind. Then two, a believer must take personal responsibility for knowing what the book says. What did I say? I mean personal responsibility. At best, this will give you a foretaste. You know, pastor, you say something and it's some truths are pain. I used to call them painfully true because I don't want them to be true. I wish that I grow just by what he releases. At least I know that if I can come and I can listen, that growth is happening. Then he will say, you see, after you've attended all the biggest conferences. Every time he says that, I used to be very angry. Because, you know, we've attended conferences. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we've attended. One day, my friend came to me. He just came to my house and said, Chris Devon is going to be in Covenant. I said, hey, and we took bike. Ladies are unannounced. Parents do not know. We slept over. You know, we've attended conferences. You know, we would all leave Lagos. There's one December. We just left. We all woke up in the morning. Said, there's a retreat somewhere. Let's go. We just went, pew. Next thing, we're in Akure, 3 days. You know, when I was 7, there is this, pew. You know, roads that I've never imagined. Lugus, just to hear word. So, trust me, I have been desperate. I have transferred over 100 MB message on infrared. That guy wanted to die. The guy could not believe it. You know, those days we used to call it material. Peace of God say material, not this. Say material, not this. Material, not this. So you know, we are not people who have been lazy around the world. You know, there is hardly any reputable, hardly there will be minister of the gospel world over that I've not heard maybe 5 or 6 of his messages. You know, I make it a point of duty. Okay, what are they saying here again? We have to, so everything can be balanced. You cannot. You can't. You tell anything. Again, we bought Hagin books. You know, I read books. So I'm not speaking down on the ministry that God has committed to men. But ultimately, the measure of your growth and the biggest impute in your growth is going to come by you taking personal responsibility to the word of God. And that's where the Lord would incline your ears to his speaking. Wow. You see, if you are still hearing God in Pizak's voice, it's good.
But you need to quickly. You need to start coming to service before service.
Yes.
You don't understand. You need to come to service before service. Something must have been said to you during the week that he said during service. Like when the prophecy came, I wanted to turn to one of us and say, remember when we were praying? Because we prayed those prayers, the prophecy came. We prayed it this week. That's how you know you are in tune, you are in the spirit. They said during Pa Elton's time, his only question is, what's God doing now? That's it. We will ask you as a believer, what is God doing now? Because you need to keep in step with God. The way to keep in step with God is through personal contact with him. In its simple form. Praise God. Praise God. So we said the believer's life is already prescribed and described, and his end is already written. So his job is set before him. Praise God. So how do we access revelation? The first, number one is humility. Again, you've heard humility before, so it's nothing. See, we have to acknowledge before God that we can't really see. And come to him for perspective. That's the bane of our generation. If you listen, you've got to acknowledge before God that you can't really see. Listen, this thing I'm saying is a painful truth. That you've got to really, in your marriage, in your work, as concerning the nations, as concerning Nigeria, things are not the way they appear. You have to acknowledge before God that you can't really see. A man that does not acknowledge before God that he can't really see has already reached a ceiling of revelation. There is a ceiling already set. When you can't, you see, you saw yesterday, fine. But what you saw yesterday is a living God. You don't understand? He's a living God. He's in motion. He's in motion. Every day is in motion. He says his mercies are new every morning. How do you know his mercies are new every morning? Because they are communicated every morning. Without really acknowledging before him that you can't really see, you have a ceiling of revelation. And that's the primary entry point into it. You have to acknowledge before God that you can't really see. You know, this is what inspires the prayer life of the fathers. When you see 70-something-year-old men and you hear they are still praying overnight 4 times in a week, what experience does he not have? What miracles has he not seen? Forget to people carry things. At my small age and young self, there are people that come to me and I know that I have the solution to their problem. I know. I don't need to be, I'll just say, in my mind, I say, are you ready for change? Even me, I have that level of swag. I say, are you ready for change? Do this, you will change. It's true. I cannot deny it. And sometimes, I told you I was talking to a young man and I said some things and he told me, honest guy, he said, I feel like you're belittling what I'm going through. I said, well, that the answer is simple does not mean it's not true. So what accounts for, you know, till tomorrow, Bishop still wakes up at 3 a.m. every day for 30 something years. If he blesses you, you are blessed. The only way you will not be blessed is not to meet him, for him to release the blessing. No, it's in your Bible now. He said to Abraham, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse them that curse you. And men were forced to what? Enact covenants with Abraham. They could see into the future. I was saying this morning in the membership class that the gospel is easily, understood 100 years ago than now. Because the men 100 years ago had a closer context to the gospel than you. We're talking about family. And I said we're talking about how we're a family and we're born into a family by our faith and all that. And for you, it's difficult to understand because you know your father's name, you know your mother's name, you know your DNA, you understand the context of family. Sociology has developed, everything has, you know. But that man knew that he's an Ogboni member and his younger brother is not. And his fellow Ogboni member is closer to him than his younger brother. And he can kill his younger brother's son so that his fellow Ogboni member can ascend the throne. Is that it was practical with them? I was my spiritual father's mom was singing a song once, and it sounded like the song I used to hear in Kotworu. Kotworu is Idara, you can't know. And she was going, Emi mi mo mo fe gba, Emi mi mo, Emi mi mo mo fe gba, Emi mi mo. In my mind, I was saying, "Emi mi mo mo fe gba, emi mi mo, boom, boom, mo fe gba, emi mi mo, boom, boom." Because in those Kotworu, this is like boom, boom. You know. So in my mind, for a while, I was scared to sing the song. That is why, if she tells you Awoli says something, she believes Awoli more than she believes all your revelation, your eternal. Moli, Moli, so pay. What is so? You don't understand? When our father left the shrine to follow Jesus, he was either going to die or live. You don't understand? If we don't follow Jesus for 2 weeks, nobody will know. Because the demons we are fighting have repackaged. They don't want to kill you again, they want you to be alive. And they want you to graduate. You understand? They want to give you work. They want to buy your business for 200 million naira. That's why they want to buy your business for 200 million. If God gives you understanding, you know what I'm saying? Because when I saw 200 million, I was wowed. Then I saw the picture, like, may God give you understanding. Praise God. Those are men of influence. With 200 million and my lipstick painted, who born you well to tell me that I don't know you? Exactly. You know what I'm saying? I got 200 million in my account, my lips is painted, my nails are like this. Tell me I don't have education. Wait, what is the basis of life you want to use to judge me? Except you have revelation. Except your values are set in... It is not just set mentally. They are set somewhere else. Yes! Because $200 million, your knees will buckle. Your family, you don't know. $200 million, you enter anywhere, they know you entered. If you enter Iraq, you've entered. You can cause damage anywhere. With $200 million, you can cause... You know $200 million? Dollars? Are you kidding me? Your knees will buckle, man. I was excited and celebrated. That I said, this is an attack. May God give you understanding. My friend sang a song once. And he was playing two characters. There's the character of the guy who wanted to make it by force. And I said, well, they have for me 10 million, my gay self. That's 10 million naira. That's not even $200 million. Your family changes. In fact, your earthly destiny changes. You are accorded respect. You are put on a stool. You are an image. That was an ordination ceremony. Wow. it wasn't casual. It wasn't business. It does not mean, I'm not saying that God, the same way God can promote you without you knowing, the enemy can promote you without you knowing. And if you're uncomfortable, you are in the right place. It's okay. Be uncomfortable. Because you are of another culture. You are of another tribe. We said last week, until this thing brings attacks of shame, you've not started. Until we are sure that you are not thinking right, until the world knows that you are not thinking right, you have not started. They looked at them and said, these are the men that turned the world upside down. Do you know what that means? They walked with their heads. They saw everything different. They caused irritations and annoyances. They were not normal. So, if you don't agree that you are not seen, you have shut yourself to revelation. Number two, if you don't move with patience and confidence. Patience and confidence. Let me tell us the honest truth. And I was telling the guys this morning, I said, before we started church, everything I had learned were like raw material. It was until we started church that they started receiving frames and they started becoming tangible. I grew up in a generation where the best of us, I'm talking people who God didn't come in a vision to show that you were called into ministry. Do you understand? Like when we're growing up, some people were called pastors and some people were called born again. And some people are church members. So there were few people that from the very beginning or somewhere in their life, God placed his hand upon them and you could tell that these were vessels for ministry. But if you weren't a vessel for ministry, all that was left for you was to, we use the phrase, serious Christian. That you were serious with God. And what we actually meant was that you weren't dealing with sin issues, and you had one or two spiritual abilities, and you loved God, you were passionate. And that was where it ended. But the conversations of your life was such in the same frame as the world. You understand? Like, a serious Christian is still judged by progression in career. You get your ability to do things. You couldn't... The office, we weren't taught as called. The people who carried calling were Pizak. In our own generation, you weren't called, you weren't taught that you were called. So the best you could be was you were either a preacher or you were a serious Christian. And there were not a lot of us who were serious Christian. One of the ways you know you're a serious Christian, don't worry, don't disturb yourself. Just check your reputation at work and your reputation in class. That's all. Forget church. You can pray. We're all together here. You know? At the time if I'm praying, if I can't pray, I'll listen to the word the person near me is saying and I'll pray. Then after I realized that someone was listening to what I'm saying and his prayer, I said, I've grown. I'm the one now channeling someone else's spirit. We weren't taught that each and every one of us, we've been called. That the issue of purpose is something we all carry and is not entrepreneurship. Purpose is not entrepreneurship. It's not. The reason why there are many entrepreneurs as we have it is because the world has given us tools to be entrepreneurs. It's easier now. And then the economy was bad and there were no jobs. And certain people took opportunity of that and framed the calling out of it and a ministry out of it. Such that you can't teach it without speaking English. Any gospel you can't teach successfully in Yoruba is not the gospel. Any gospel you can't teach in Pidgin is not the gospel. Do you know what I'm saying? Anything I'm saying to you that I can't say to a market woman is not the gospel. Any gospel that is class-centric is not the gospel. Do you know what I'm saying? If the gospel has to fix and meet your class before you can access it, that's not the word of God. Yes. Sorry, someone said I was shouting last week. But we need to say these things. You are called. You are called. And it doesn't have to be fivefold. You are called. And who says, when we are doing it, you don't get the motions of your heart is what we are doing here. Getting people saved, getting people born again, plucking people from addiction. Yeah.
I told you how my mentor would go to work and his office prayer meeting is giving word of knowledge about babies. And one woman came to me and said, you gave this one a word last week. You did not give me a word. Say, I'm not the one that gives words. He goes on. God shows him in a vision that she will have a baby. And he goes back and tells her, God said, he said, I don't understand the kind of faith you have, but God said to me that you have a baby. And when she got to the hospital, her husband calls him and said, you are the first person we are calling. Because they've waited for many years. That's a calling. In a blue chip office. You should be running deliverance in the toilet. And your own will be better because the person cannot shout. Or else they will start both of you. So you hold the person and say, quiet! Get out in the name of Jesus. That's our call, guys. Do we understand? And finally, it's a good place to pivot to my final point. It takes courage. If you don't sign up for a life of courage, they won't give you revelation. They won't give you. They will hoard it. And courage is simple. It's doing the word. Doing what you know today as the word. That's courage. Because you see, every time the word comes to you, the word defies your world. It's the natural position of the world. It defies. You know, this week I was, because I'm doing a study on John, and I'm like, Jesus did his first miracle at a wedding party. That was serious defiance. I'm not even going to go into the temple. If that didn't get, that didn't move, Matishwara. You don't understand Jesus. How can you do your first miracle? Is that a serious ministry? And Bible records, this is the beginning of signs. You don't know, his miracles were the beginning of signs so that his disciples might believe on him. So the miracles weren't supposed to be the end. The miracles were contraptions or moments that would facilitate believing. Do you understand? So the miracles were supposed to facilitate believing, and the place he chose to start it was at the wedding. So this faith is, this life is lived out. It takes boldness. That was one of the boldest miracles ever done. He went for the very top. And his mother said, they don't have wine. Our friends on that said, they don't have wine. They don't have joy. They are joyless. How can you go to a wedding where there's no wine? That's bad party. Imagine your wedding, your DJ does not play. I don't care how Christian you are, you will almost likely cry. Joyless. And it wasn't a Christian party, by the way. So that we don't get it twisted. If they don't have wine, they are joyless. A party without wine. And she said, people have listened. This is our life. The woman said, whatever he says to you, do. You see, that statement, the Catholics are not too wrong for hosting that woman in esteem. You see, we don't understand. Do you know what it means when someone says any titubaso? It means that woman's bandwidth for believing had broken rational thresholds. No, say any. She said anything. You don't understand. If he says, just take the cup without anything in it and give it to him, give it. If he says, okay, don't worry, you people don't need to drink. You're all drunk. Believe it. you understand the realm of anything. Say, okay, pour sand inside the cup. Pour it. She won't say anything, and she went away. You will tell that the way she said it, she don't to experience it. This was anything way you talk, Mona Dua. And then they went, and then they filled it, and then they poured. Guys, the life of revelation, of coming into who we are, knowing who we are, is the life that God has designed for us. It's a beautiful life. You know, the last thing I wrote, I said there is joy in the book, there is peace in the book, there is love in the book, there is strength in the book, there is power in the book. God bless you.
Amen. Have your seat. Courage, that was very good.